Joining us now is Barry Bloom of MLB.com. And Barry has been an author, written books about Larry Boa and others. Barry Bonds as well. He's done work with him. But senior writer at MLB.com. And anytime I come down to the desert, it's always nice to see Barry here. Barry, this ballpark, it's a big ballpark. It's much different feeling than AT&T Park.
Well, I think I wrote it back in 2010 when the Giants started their run for the World Series that year. It seemed to me that the Giants and the crowd took on the persona of an Eastern park. It was like Philly, New York, Boston. You know, it's a real baseball city. Arizona is not a real baseball city. This is an amalgam, and it's the way it is with all the sports teams here, pretty much. But this team's only been here since 98. Okay. So, I mean, it doesn't have a lot of history. Even though it's had some success in that period of time, it doesn't seem to generate, a lot of interest in the community. The Padres draw right on par with these guys, and the Padres haven't been to the playoffs since 2006. So I think it's the ballpark's too big. They got greedy with it when they built it. If you go to Miami, it's a 35,000-seat ballpark. This ballpark is green. It's dour. The ballpark in Miami is like blue, white, a lot of, Miami
South
colors.
Yeah.
And it's a fun place to go, and it's 32,000 seats. That's what they should have had here.
Well, it is Chase Field. The roof is now closed. It's dark in here now, and the air conditioning is on. I kind of like it in a way. I really do. I realize everyone, all of your criticisms or your observations are absolutely correct. 44,000 here last night, 37,000 on Friday night. I imagine there'll be a good crowd today. But it's different. The atmosphere is different from AT&T. And I noticed that, as I said to Rennell, our PA announcer is terrific up in San Francisco. If she was here, boy, the place would be jumping. But the person who does it here is terrific. But he plays to his crowd. And when Kiss Cam comes on here, it's not San Francisco. Trust me.
Right.
It's the trailer park in Mesa. So it's just different being here, and that's why I said, I don't criticize the PA guy, but it's just different.
I think you like it because you're here three games a year. If you're here like 35 games a year like I am, you wouldn't like it.
All right. Hey, you almost got hit by a ball, or you did get clipped by a ball in the press box. What happened?
Dan Posey, I was more appreciative of it last night because he hit it the other way into the left field bleachers, but yeah, it was. I looked up, and Bernie Pleskoff, who's a close friend of mine, jostled me a little bit, or else the ball probably would have hit me directly in the face.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought about it. It was just a glancing blow, and I was fine. And his ear is a little sore. But for a guy like Brandon McCarthy, who's on the disabled list now with the D-backs, he took a ball at 100 miles an hour directly off his face. Mm. I can't imagine what that would be like. And then to get back out there and try to do it again and overcome those fears. And he's having repercussions, as you know,
yes,
from the incident.
Injury.
Yeah, and the brain injury. And he's having seizures. And, my heart really goes out to him.
Yeah, boy, what a story. Barry Bloom is with us, MLB.com. Let's talk a little. You see more games down here than I do, and you follow the Diamondbacks. You've seen the Giants, the Padres, Dodgers, everybody else. You write beautiful stories about baseball, and you've done it for years. What do you think about this division right now, and especially these two teams? Skaggs today and Chad Godin, third game of a series. Look who's pitching.
Well, every season has its own texture to it. It doesn't matter what happens in the previous season. But I think the one thing the Giants have from over the last couple of years is the ability to come back in situations and win. We've got 4 months to go in the season here. It's really a long time. 2 years ago or in 10 or 3 years ago in 10, they really didn't get going till August and then had a hell of a September and October. Last year, they had their backs to the walls in the playoffs in the first two rounds and had to come back and win. And so, that gives them, and with the core of their team, I think a huge added advantage to everybody in the division when it comes down to push and shove time. And then you look at it, I was talking to Bochy about it last night. He was moaning about the starting pitching, and I said, look, you have a starting staff that since you bought up Baumgartner three years ago, they haven't had a guy go down with an arm injury. They had Zito with a foot injury, that now Vogelsong with a broken hand. But how fortunate have they been to have their guys constantly go through the rotation and be healthy? Well, the Diamondbacks right now, they've got McCarthy on with his upteenth shoulder injury. You had Daniel Hudson just blow out his elbow again for a second Tommy John surgery coming up in less than a year. And Ian Kennedy doesn't look anywhere near the person that he was. You know, the first half of the season, or the first month of the season, we were talking and writing about how bad the bullpen was. Then Heath Bell came on, J.J. Puch went on the disabled list, and that straightened itself out. Then the starting pitching now is in disarray, and both teams, you looked at it, I was looking at it last night, Diamondbacks' ERA, team ERA is 4.29, and Giants is like 4.78.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned on the show this morning, Arizona rotation, last 10 games, 55 innings pitched, 53 runs given up. That's .867.
Well, Cahill and Kennedy, two out of the last three games, were 18 of them.
Yeah, got lit up big
time.
Yeah,
you can't win and get out of the fourth inning.
Ted Lilly went on the DL today.
I saw that,
Matt McGill was going to make the start for the Dodgers today.
And that's been a constant, you know, like carousel in L.A. too.
How do you like Yasiel Puig?
Yeah, well, so far, I mean, he looks like Cespedes, doesn't he?
Yes, that's what I said.
Right.
And Bo Jackson, he's got that look. When he steps on a baseball field, he's fearless.
Right.
And you'll have to pitch to him, and you know, but he's fearless. I like it.
I mean, the one thing I loved about Cespedes is that when he came up here last year, he couldn't hit anything but a fastball. And then he learned on the fly how to hit breaking pitches.
Yeah.
So the question is going to be on Puig, the same thing. How is he going to adjust after, you know, a first spate of success?
Yeah. Hey, what do you think, if I had to ask you to make a prediction now, and we'll give you a mulligan on the early season predictions, because you and I have lunch over the winter. We all make a... Oh, you picked the Padres. That's right.
Right.
You picked the Padres at lunch. Now it's coming back to me.
That's true.
I'll give you a mulligan. Who would you pick today?
Well, I wrote at the end of spring training that nothing I saw changed the fact that the division's the Giants to lose.
Okay.
And that's where I am right now on it. I still think it's the Giants to lose. And you've had this Giants, Diamondbacks, and the Diamondbacks are in first place right now, albeit the Giants won the World Series in 2 years and the Diamondbacks got knocked out of the first round in 11. But that seems to be the pattern of what's been going on in the division because the other teams have you know, so many problems. I think the Padres would be right there right now if they hadn't gotten off to such a bad start, and they're one really starting pitcher away, and they still are.
Well, they're seven back or something like that
right, it's a
right
lot
now.
At this point.
Well, with other teams, you have to get rid of four other teams who are pretty good,
right?
And that's the problem for them. The other teams,
well, three other teams, yeah.
We have three others.
Yeah, right,
it's not bad.
Right.
Well, you got Colorado, Arizona, the Giants, and what about the Dodgers?
Yeah, no, the Dodgers are behind them.
Well, but you'd have to get them out of the picture.
The Dodgers are out of the picture.
Really?
Yeah, the Dodgers are they're done this year.
Boy, Bill Terry said that in 1934, and it cost the Giants the pennant.
Well, that was 1934.
He said the Dodgers, they still in the league? Don't say that. You never say that about the Dodgers.
I'm saying it.
Don't do that. All right. Barry Bloom is doing it, MLB.com. Nice to have him with us. You were in New York last week. You got to see the Yankees play with Boston. I think Cleveland, you saw that. But
Mets,
I want to bring up one thing. Andy Pettit. He won his 250th game last night. He's the third winningest Yankee of all time. Hall of Famer eventually, Andy Pettit, what do you say?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I've written this. You look at all the numbers. You remember, it's also accompanied by, in this era, 19 wins in the postseason.
Right.
And, you know, plus he has, you know, five world championships with the Yankees. So, and as I think Don Sutton and I were talking about it recently, he said, and then you get points just for being a Yankee to go in the Hall of Fame. So I think the one downside with him is he's an admitted PED guy.
Yeah.
And but by the time he gets on, you know, really you're talking about earliest in 2019 if he retires at the end of this year. And really with Mo saying he's gone no matter what he does and Jeter having playing a game this year, I could see all three of them being on the ballot in 2019 being retired at the end of the year. This might be it for them.
Boy, that would be interesting. Jack Morris, where do you put him vis-a-vis Andy Pettit?
He's right there. I mean, same amount of wins. What did he have?
253.
Yeah, 253, 257. Yeah. He's one of the most dominant postseason pitchers of all time. won the World Series with three different teams, maybe pitched the best World Series game in history.
254, by the way.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, they did against Smoltz.
Right, 1-0. Yeah.
He's going to be joining us hopefully this morning, if not this morning, next week.
Yeah, he's a good guy, and he's one of those guys I started voting for later on the ballot, but this year is his 15th year, and he's really squeezed by the amount of people that are on the ballot this year. I mean, really, you're going to have Smoltz and Glavin. I mean, Maddux and Glavin are going to get in, probably. Maddux, definitely. Glavin, I would say so. You have Frank Thomas, Jeff Kent. You have Mussina with 270 wins on the ballot this year. And then you have Morris in his 15th year, and I'm not sure he's going to make up the difference to get in. That might wind up being a Veterans Committee thing.
Wow. You think Frank Thomas is in first year?
I think he's on the bubble.
Yeah. Boy, interesting talking ball with you. Always a pleasure to have you on. Before we let you go, this lawsuit that baseball is involved with, Biogenesis, it's very interesting. And you looked it up online, and so did I, because you asked me yesterday, what's the basis of it? And I had to say, boy, how does baseball have standing to sue this aging, well-aging clinic? And they made a very ingenious argument here when they filed the lawsuit. That the clinic is interfering with the contractual rights of the players and Major League Baseball. And they're doing it by scheming and fraud and alleging all these different things. So they got into court. And now they're using the process of court for discovery. And of course, you know, in law, a big law firm sues you. And, you know, you're a one-person law firm, and, you know, they all of a sudden you get a motion with 200 pages. And another motion with 400 pages. They'll paper you to death. That's what baseball is doing to these people. And these people have caved in. And all of a sudden, baseball now is using it for subpoenas of FedEx, records like that. This is very interesting for baseball. They've never had this power before.
Yeah, well, I think that's great in the lawsuit. But this is all outside of the drug agreement. So how they handled it with the union, I don't think the union's going to be too happy about baseball trying to suspend players, you know, outside of the agreement. And all of it is going to wind up in arbitration if they try to do it. They have to have some sort of agreement with the Players Association on how to go about this.
Are they just looking for the court of public opinion, maybe?
Well, I think they're looking for the court of public opinion in the fact that it's the tried and true 20th century Major League Baseball tact in which you go out there and try and put enough pressure on the union that the union caves.
Right.
And I don't think it's ever worked, so why would it work now? But I also think that you have a situation now where the executive director of the Players Association, Michael Wiener, has inoperable brain cancer. And so, you know, I'm not saying Major League Baseball is trying to take advantage of that situation, but the union from the outside might have a perceived weakness, which they didn't have before. But I think they'll stand up pretty strong for the players.
Boy, interesting. I hadn't thought about that aspect of it. Where, you know, this is outside the agreement. But they're going to get a lot of information, and the court of public opinion is what will happen. All right. Thank you so much for stopping by. A pleasure. And I'll come down. Maybe I'll have dinner with you tonight.
That'd be great.
All right.
Okay,
thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me
on. Barry Bloom, MLB.com on a Sunday morning right here on KMBR 680, the sports leader.